I don't know how to get this thing right.
What up? Let me get some water.
Back in business. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Metalcore Church. My name is Raymond Joey Hargraves. I am the Metalcore Church host. Apparently, I wanted it to hurry up and come to fruition, and it didn't exist, and I published it. So, for those of you who are saying I'm some kind of pastor, I'm not a pastor. I'm not trying to be a pastor. I'm like the host. I'm like John the Baptist of the Metalcore Church. I'm just holding the stage like, yes, it's going to come. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a concert venue eventually and Bible study, or I don't know how much church it's going to be, because you see, I developed it in a way where it's a business. It's a business. Because if the government were to pass some law for the LGBT community and say, you know, all the 501c3s that are preaching the gospel are going to need to shut down because they've violated the LGBT community rights too many times, and then all the churches legally have to close their doors, and if they stay in operation, then it's going to be against the law, what, give or take 5 or 10 years. So going the 501c3 route is not beneficial, because the Metalcore Church is just a concert venue. We don't preach the gospel here. We just have bands play on stage, you know, and talk about music, and we hang out and barbecue and do backyard parties, you know. You can't shut us down, because I just sell shirts and CDs and record music. We're not a church, but you know, we're Christian. We own the overhead. It's the Metalcore Church. It's the Metalcore Church concert venue, event services, weddings. I don't know. You know, you want to put a bunch of tattooed up guys in tuxes and do a wedding, you know, and do like, yeah, and like As I Lay Dying on stage. That'll be pretty awesome. I tried to write notes this time because I can't use the phone to use my digital notes. And so I wrote stuff down this time on paper. It's crazy good. I brought up the deathcore so there's like these community, I don't know, God's just been downloading stuff to me, but one of the things that God said was don't exclude the deathcore community from the metalcore church. And I was like, well, you know, doesn't the Bible say not to, this thing is so hard to hold. I'm holding a selfie stick. What can light and darkness have in common? And I was thinking about it, like, you know, but this is the metalcore community, the Christian metalcore community. Whenever we get together, the deathcore community is in the midst with us. They're always there. They're, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've been angry at life and just rage and pissed in the mosh pit, and I just needed to go into the pit and just wreck somebody, you know, and I would go into the pit and wreck somebody, and then afterwards we would get pizza and beer and hang out and smoke a cigarette in the parking lot, you know. But that was sort of my form of anger management. That was how I dealt with the issues, because I didn't have a father. I got kicked out of the house for fighting with my brother, you know, just different things. Like, but I appreciated the deathcore community, the Church of Atheism, not the deathcore church. When I say the DXC, it's the deathcore community. It's the Church of Atheism. It's the guys who show up at the concert to just maul people and get beat up and you know, they hurt people, and that's what they're there to do, and that's what metalcore is about. We're about getting mad in the pit and getting out some anger and releasing some energy, you know. And I've been really thankful for the deathcore community, you know. In spite of my own addiction, I've come in contact with many members of the deathcore community that they're in, you know, they exist for a reason. God has a purpose and a plan for them just as much as he does the metalcore community. And I want to be respectful when I'm addressing issues for the metalcore community in Bakersfield, because Jerry's Pizza hasn't done a good job of representing us. And I think the Bright House Amphitheater has stolen the stage, but you know, they're paying, they're just, Bright House is just filthy rich from being an internet service provider, and they just can dump $1 million and pay all the best metalcore bands to come and play at the Bright House Amphitheater. That's what they do, you know. But for like a small venue that wants to be like more like the Glass House in Pomona, but in as a Bakersfield stop, you know, they go to the Glass House, and then instead of going to the Fox Theater, have like a dedicated place for not just country music, but you know, like for metalcore bands. So we stop getting skipped. The 5 freeway just goes right to Fresno, and Bakersfield gets skipped. So all the bands that are coming on from the UK, they land at LAX, and they play all the shows in the LA area, and they hit the 5, and they just right past Bakersfield. And it's always been the hope that, you know, we kind of changed the trajectory of the touring band so that we don't have to 2-hour down south just to see our favorite shows, that we can, and that when they do come here, that they're not stuffed into the armpit of Jerry's Pizza basement. It smells like sweat and death down there with how many people have black eyes and bloody noses and busted lips in that place, man. It's just like, we need some more quality environment for our bands. And I know the ownership changed over Jerry's Pizza. Nothing. I love Jerry's Pizza. I've had great memories. I've got myself beat up. I've been beat up. My brother's been hauled off on a stretcher. We Jerry's Pizza is where it all happened growing up, in Dave's Taco, and being a hardcore punk and goth, and Doc Martens with long green mohawks. And that was the scene here. But it's 2022 now. We have a whole new environment that's coming to fruition. And I'm like, hey guys, something good is going to come. I have this platform. Get a hold of me. We'll put you on. You know, I have a feeling there is going to be a metalcore pastor. He's going to be just a fireball for Christ, man. He'll be the pastor. I'm just the host. I like own the business, and I just do business stuff. I'll probably be the guy working the Apple MacBook cash register, if you want to buy like a CD or something, or like I'll, you know, use the computer to sign you up if you want to sing on some of our tracks, you know. And then I'd take you, we'd go smash together. You could just follow me out to the 777 music studio. It's like 60 an hour, and they got all kinds of stuff, and put you on record, make a metalcore album, put it all on the metalcore church, whatever, producer, and just pump the Christian metalcore, you know, because that's what we do. That's what we want. We want new metal, Christian metalcore, new hardcore 2022 flavored, like perfect sushi, you know, and we just want to give it to you in the metalcore. Okay, so that was my introduction, but let me pray, and then I'll just sort of give you guys a few things that I wanted to share. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this ministry. I thank you for this group, God. I thank you for what you're doing and the rate at which it's growing. I just pray, God, that you would let the metalcore church continue to be a light in the darkness, that you continue to just use me to just hold the stage and give a word of hope and encouragement to that there is a place in the world for Christian metalcore and radical Christians, and it just like collides together in this weird way that I know that you have a good plan for it and that it's going to be great. And I thank you, God, for letting me be the joker face of what it's starting. You know, it's just a seed and I'm just here to water it. I'm just the gardener and I'm thankful for it and I'm thankful for the position in the world. And I pray, God, that you just use me, speak through me, and let the metalcore church survive. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Now that I'm blind, my contacts are like, oh. Look, so I put that I was going to share some of my testimony, and it's long, but I started with Christ. So like I started at an early age. My mom and dad went to church and they took me with them. And then I was introduced to the gospel sort of just being in church. And my parents were really young, like really young, like 18 and 19 years old with 3-4 kids in the house. And my parents were cheating and lying and stealing and using drugs together and drinking together and partying. And it was real bad home environment. And I was a firstborn, so I was like where my mental development started was there in the house with the fighting and the roaches and the lice and the rats. And I never really went without food. I don't ever remember being in that kind of dire situation, but I was in a situation where it was bad a lot of the time. But my mom made a really good, strong effort to get out of that, and I'm really thankful. And so growing up in the environment, I had no curfew as a child growing up. I've been wild. I've been at the party, paying for all the alcohol. I've poured money into drugs and coke and meth and just been a fireball for like the party. I wouldn't say that I was like on fire for the devil. I was just, you know, just hanging out with my friends, and we all agreed that we should, you know, drink alcohol excessively and smoke marijuana excessively and do methamphetamine excessively. And then we agreed to run away and live in a RV in a Walmart parking lot for like a decade and do meth and steal. And that was sort of life. Right out of high school, I was a strung out meth addict, and we just did a lot of evil, and I was sleeping with my girlfriend a lot for like 6 years and all strung out and fighting and domestic violence. And it was just really toxic, like my whole upbringing, my entire upbringing. So I came to a point where like I was starving to death. I was on the street. I was living in the back of a car. And I just remember like calling home to my mom and asking if I could come home. Like, hey, mom, like, I'm not going to make it another week on the street. I'm pretty much dead. I have no money. I have no food. I'm going to die if you tell me that I can't come home right now. And she said, well, I don't want you in my house while you're on drugs. And I said, well, I'm ready to quit using drugs. And she was like, well, I want you to go into Teen Challenge. And my journey to becoming sober started in 2007. I was homeless for like 2 years. At 18, I had been a pot dealer big time before the pot shops were open, and I was dealing to the skater community, but I was dealing with the gang community. So it was like I was this middle ground for skaters to obtain marijuana safely. So I had a lot of money all the time, a lot of money, and that's sort of funded my methamphetamine addiction. And it just took me at 18, 19, 20, was homeless and I knew about God, like, early childhood. Like, I knew that I had a calling, sort of. When I accepted Christ, it was like, I don't know, something about me. And I believe that the metalcore church has a huge part in why God highlighted me, man. This is the amount of times that I've come close, so close to losing my life in the drug world, in the gang world, and being here with all the white supremacy, and being the skin color that I am. It's just, you know, I'm lucky to be alive and standing with God. So I go into Teen Challenge, and I want to rededicate my life. I want to do whatever it takes that I can go home and not be strung out on drugs. And I'm willing to submit to the program, and I make it like 30 days in Teen Challenge, and I couldn't quit smoking cigarettes. So I ran away from the program back into the arms of my ex-girlfriend, who was a compulsive liar, and she was lying to me on the phone while I was in Teen Challenge. And I wanted to go and control her, you know, because that was what I was accustomed to doing in a domestic violence relationship. And I went and I ran and found her at the dope dealers and, you know, used again and broke down. And I was like ready to go back into the program for the second time. The second time I made it pretty far. I got into a fight in the program with another student, and we both got kicked out. I was there for about 7 months, and I was able to live clean for about a year outside of Teen Challenge. And then it was like I went back into another program for another 7 months, got kicked out for fighting. I lasted about a year clean and sober, and then back again. And the cycle just sort of repeated itself. And I just started to get worn out by the cycle. I went to 6 or 7 rehabs. And I just remember that last time God was like, that's enough. I'm sending you to jail. And I go to jail, and I'm in jail for like 5 or 6 days. And I go see the judge. You know, you're in downtown, and then they're like, come on, Joey, it's your court date. I need to take you to go see the judge. And I go into the judge, and the judge, like, looked at all your records. I'm going to send you to rehab. And I was just so angry. I just remember that feeling, like, I've already done, like, 5 programs trying. They're, like, living. They're pretty much jail. And no contact with the outside world. The only thing I can do is work, eat, sleep, and read my Bible. These, you know, it was like 7 months or almost a year for each program. And then when the judge told me another program, I was just like, oh, I don't want it. Like, it was like this rage in me that I didn't want to use drugs ever again. And that started a new journey in me to sobriety, to being clean off of methamphetamine is my drug of choice. And so I had to really, and I meant at that time, I was clean for 3 years. And during those 3 years, because of that rage, the girl I was with, I was accountable for every penny that I made. So if I made money, she knew. And then I would relay that money. You know what I mean? So I was accountable, and I wasn't hiding money and spending it on drugs. And that one incident happened at the 3 year mark where I obtained money illegally that was unaccountable. Nobody knew I had it. And it, like, you know, having the money that nobody knew about sort of spoke to me and was like, hey, it's been a while since you've had money that nobody knew about. You know, maybe you can get a hotel room, get a little drugs, get a little high. Nobody will know. You have enough money to, like, stay in the hotel and come down, and nobody will know. And that little voice, like, sort of played on repeat, and just played and played and played until I finally gave in. And I lost my 3 years, and back into the cycle was way worse, because there's a verse that talks about how it gets worse every time you go back into your addiction and just remember how that felt to have been clean for so long and to falling back. And then it was like, that one landed me in jail. And I had a pending felony. I got 3 years felony probation, 3 years anger management. It was like the worst outcome. And I just remember how it changed my, where I was able to work, because the guy who I got into it with ended up working at the same place and telling, you know, my boss everything that happened. And my boss took his side. So I was out of a job. And then I was really out of a job because I was like a felon looking for a job. Well, it was pending, and if I failed probation, it would have been permanent, but it dropped off my record. And God did his work in me. And I had been clean 5 years from that. I completed felony probation, anger management, another year of rehab. I did Narcotics Anonymous, Celebrate Recovery, AA. I did book work. I did counseling. I did 6 months of drug counseling, aggression replacement training, where I did hands-on anger management so that I would not fight anymore. And I just, the impact was huge in my life. 5 years clean and sober, working a job, saving money, taking care of a car. I was working two jobs. I graduated with my associate's degree from Taft College. I got accepted into Cal State University as engineering project management. And I had been just doing the best I've ever done in my entire life. And I've made a ton of money and built a $10,000 music studio. And I was just like going forward with God. And what hurt this last time, I only have like 90 days, but I have a little over 90 days clean because I had a relationship for about 14 years. And I had to let it go. And it hurt. And I didn't know how to deal with that pain. They don't teach you. They teach you how to stay clean and sober, but they don't really give you the tools that I needed, like how to deal with homelessness and stay clean and sober, how to deal with like different aspects of loss. I lost a job that caused me to relapse. I lost, you know, and I lost this relationship, and I just didn't know how to cope, you know, and I only knew how to like use, because that kind of pain, I would just cover it up because I didn't want to go through the emotions that came with it. I just cried and cried and cried. I cried through like Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, you know. It was just pain after pain after pain of being alone. And I've never been alone. I'm not used to not texting my girlfriend of 14 years every 5 seconds of every day. And now I realize how invasive that is. If that makes any sense. Even if you like are married, you probably shouldn't allow somebody as close as I did, because it was very painful journey. But thank the Lord, I beat the cigarettes a second time, which was scary because I didn't think I was going to be able to do it a second time. I smoked cigarettes for many years, and I broke it, prayer and the Holy Spirit. And this time I picked it back up when I lost the relationship, and I've been smoking like 6 or 8 months. And God told me that I needed to get the patch. And I don't really believe in the patch because I always felt like it was a secular way to get clean. And God told me to buy the patch. So I bought the patch and I put it on, and I still needed a cigarette. And I was still kind of vaping a little bit to like, you know, try to, but mentally I was like, well, I'm on the patch. I don't really need a cigarette. I'm okay. And I went a week or two, I got to the last patch, and I was like, I'm gonna have to go and get some more. But I had forgot to put my patch on. I forgot I was wearing the patch because I was just doing routine and daily stuff. And then all of a sudden, it had been like 4 days. I looked down and I go, I'm not wearing the patch. And I haven't had a cigarette. And I haven't needed a cigarette. And I was like, I broke it. I broke it. And it was like, it happened. And it was like, yeah. I was like, oh, God. Like, God did it because I was obedient. I listened. You know, some people, it's kind of a funny process because you're like, you're going to want to reduce your nicotine, reduce. And I think it was like a combination of that plus the habit of not, you know, from my history, my 5 years of not smoking, and then it just went. And then I didn't need the vape. And then I did the lighter, and then it just kind of went. And I was like, yes. And I am thankful that I am clean and sober today. And I'm like the real clean and sober. There's a dry clean and sober, and it's not a complete. And then John 8:32, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I tell you, I probably need more reminders about all of the pain so that I don't backpedal ever again. But I'm really aiming for that 10-year chip. You know, I really want to be, because all the people at the Set Free Ministry, they got the 10-year chip, and I just know that's the one. That's the one for me. When I have that 10-year, I'm just going to be 10-year to the grave with my sobriety date intact. Okay, so I want to give you guys a scripture, just one. It's a really good one. And I think that this is where my prophetic gift started. A lot of people think it's real weird, but I'm jumping all the steps. So we're going to assume that you've been saved. You've accepted Christ as Lord of your life. That's step one. That's baby steps. You're back in alternative rock with getting saved, raising your hand at the end of a church service and saying, yes, I'd like to find out what all this Christianity is about. Two, getting baptized in water, making a public declaration of your faith. You make an appointment, or you go to one of the churches with the dunk station, and you invite your family and your friends, and you say, hey, look, today I'm making a commitment to dedicate my life to Jesus Christ, and I want to make it known publicly that I'm making that declaration. That's step two. Step three, you're going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're going to wait in the upper room. You're going to confess all your sins, and you're going to live a life early in your development. You should be reading the Bible every day so that you know what it says, and getting pumped, and then seeking out worship. I think that's the easiest way to get your gift of tongues, to get baptized in the Spirit, to make that dedication. So remember, I'm jumping you ahead. So I'm assuming you've been saved. You've been water baptized. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And now you speak in tongues once you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you start to use that a little bit when you do your prayer. We're jumping you into the prophetic. So into the prophetic, once you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, there are some prayers that you can pray over your life that are, I feel like, how do I say, Doctor Strange. And the book reads two ways. The Bible reads two ways. And then there's these mystic arts. And I am a professional with the mystic of the Christian world. You can look it up. There's plenty of stuff online about it. It's called The Prayer of Jabez. And when I first started, you know, looking at the Bible through different eyes, the prayer of Jabez is a very unique prayer. All I wrote was guided prayers and the prayer of Jabez. So there's a lot more here. The prayer of Jabez is a prayer. Let me pull it up so I can read it to you, because I don't have my notes in front of me. First Chronicles. You're going to want to pray this over yourself. It's not that I'm boring. I'm not a pastor. I am more like the guy who is preparing the stage for radical Christianity, and we're first we have to understand what happens as a Christian. You become a firewalker.
Oh, I didn't realize.
I just wrote the definition for it on the Urban Dictionary as a firewalker. It's radical. It's really, really radical. Okay, let me read this to you. This is the prayer of Jabez. 1 Chronicles 4:10 says, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Now, this is very... So what they said was to pray this over yourself. And this is where it comes into these guided prayers. I found a couple of books. They were like thick books. And what they did was they gave like a couple of sentences on how to pray. And then you read them out loud like a prayer. But it like changes the way you pray. Because normally I'm just like, thank you, God, for this food. Right? But if you think about it, there's like 100 crazy good ways you could pray that change the dynamic. Thank you, God, for the people who picked this food, for the people who transported this food, for the fact that I get to eat food without having the mark of the beast right now, because, you know, you could have been born, what, like 10 years later, 100 years later, and been born into a world where they just give you the mark of the beast right as a baby, and you're stuck in. And it says, but so I started to pray, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory," like at the beginning of my faith. It was like the first instance of me seeking out more. I want more of what God can give me. I feel like I could be more responsible with more territory because I've had, or it was like I had a Bible study of like 10 people. I paid and fed everybody at the Bible study once a week. And I read my Bible and studied my Bible, and we read the Bible together and studied the Word of God together. And it was like, okay, God, enlarge my territory and let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. It was the enlarge my territory. So my Bible study actually blew up and got out of control. And we had to split my Bible study into two, because once you get 20 people, you have to break your Bible study, because you appoint somebody from your group. Hey, you need to lead this because 20 people at your house is, I mean, if we're having a concert in the backyard, 20 people's minimum. But you're doing like a home Bible study and you got 20 or 30 people in your living room, it's getting wild. But it's so much fun. I've been in a couple of Bible studies that were just out of control. And it was just so much fun. We went to this upper room winter camp where we all stayed at a cabin, and we just sat around and drank hot coffee and talked. And eventually some of the guys in the group got these like wet washcloths and were just whipping each other. And it was like MMA on steroids. They were like bleeding and cutting their, breaking skin with wet washcloths, and we're just whipping each other. Wow. And it would just get it in the face. And I was like, yo, what are you doing? Like, and there was like, all the girls were like, yeah, get him. And I was like, no. But, so I went before, what time is it? Okay, we still got, I got a lot of time. I was working with the All Consuming, and they were like, well, why don't you do something on Sunday nights? I haven't quite figured out how this all works yet. I was trying to get a program where I could show you my computer screen and get it all plugged together where I could do stuff. But I got a song. If you want to, I can't really play this song for you right now, but I want you to listen to this song. This is the song, since I'm the Metal Court Church, I want to push the song into your life right now. It's called Take This Life by The Forerunner. And that is the our worship song for today. That is, it's a good one. And then I guess there was a heavy competition between these two bands. So we're going to do the metalcore band highlight. So we do the metalcore song highlight, and we do the metalcore band highlight. And the metalcore band highlight is, drumroll, it was hard. It was between Convictions and Lightworker, and I think I'm going to stick with Lightworker because I like their aesthetic. So if you're going to check out a band, check out Lightworker. I don't even know how Christian they are, or I'm still trying to figure out a process who to publish. It's not like I have a list yet, but I know that All Consuming Podcast has a ton of partners, and I guess we're gonna have tryouts for Pastor. I'm gonna give them all like a stick, and whoever just beats the other person to death, person left standing wins, and then they get to be the pastor of the metalcore church. I'm just kidding. No, that'll be pretty decent though. Round one, Street Beefs. Yeah. On this side we have Hardcore Henry versus the lead singer of Those Who Fear. Yeah. He's all bald. He's like 5'9". No, he's like 6'9", no, 5. I'm like 5'10", 5'11". Okay, so, and then I wanted to do these three hardcore verse to memorize. We were going to do, let me give you guys Titus. To my backpack. I have to walk like 3 hours to church. So, my Bible is in my bag. Let me give you. Nee. So, this one's good. Terrible at being like an Uber dude. So we're gonna have to learn together how to get along until I get, you know, Billy Joe Bob on the mic, and he's like, and we just, but of course it's still COVID, you know, like they're still pumping that propaganda into the world. So it's like not everybody is going to rush back into a public environment. Even if I got everything handed to me like today, we'd get like 5 people, you know, because not because we suck or there's a lack of money or music equipment or awesome dudes that want to be radical for Christ and play heavy metalcore music. That's not the issue. The issue is stupid time. The issue is that I don't want to go out in public because I don't want to get sick. I don't want to get COVID. And how would that affect? They'd shut me down in a heartbeat if we all got together and had a concert and then somebody got COVID and then we can't have you having concerts anymore. And I'd be like, yeah, we just started. It was like our first concert and you want to get us all sick. Oh, I would be on the guard. I'm going to tell my security about that too. I'll be like, you know what? You need to make sure that somebody's not coming in here sick. So we'll just beep everybody at the door. All right, let's see. Okay. This is what we talked about today. It says, a deacon, we're in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 3:8-13. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. Trust me, I have been wrestling with the idea to get the alcohol license. It's, you know, it's where I'm just sort of like, I don't think so, just because of the celebrate recovery principle that it, you know, I can't ban it, but I shouldn't promote it. Is that sort of like, I was thinking if we opened up the college and we had a men's home that basically ran, you know, the grounds maintenance, they could take care of grapes and we can make our own wine at the college, assuming that I can get the Japanese restaurant up and running. So it would be concert venue, quality concert venue. This is gonna be, I don't even know. I kind of have an idea for like a Friday night where the restaurant, like a night where the restaurant is closed, and then we have like a, you know, like a, where we can mosh pit and not kill each other and, you know, do some high kicks and, you know, maybe a fight or two. And then the other time have another one where it's like restaurant, you can come and sit and get food, and then you can enjoy a metalcore show. Like the public can come and order and understand what metalcore is, like in a quality environment with a quality set, and really feel that double bass pedal without being at risk of a loose elbow or getting cracked in the head, you know, but have it like a smooth jazz environment, and then just metalcore, double bass, screaming electric, and low gutturals on the vocals. So, but incorporating, like, I'm cool, like having a winery sort of environment, you know, with the black and sushi and allowing it to be so quality that it's like royalty, and then overcharge for everything. But then again, I don't want to overcharge for the concert, you know, but if we're going to open it up to the public, why not? Nah, that sucks. It's going to be, it has to be quality though. So just, that's the number one thing. It has to be quality. We have to allow the public to enjoy metalcore also. So it can't always be us smashing on each other, you know, because that's us. And there's only a little bit of us. But if the public wants to come and enjoy metalcore, because we got the rock, we got, I love that restaurant. It's like the Rock Cafe or something. It's this new restaurant just opened in Bakersfield. It's like, it's rock music, and I go in there and they're playing like some old 80s rock, and then there was like, they did, they have a stage and they have people come and DJ and rap, and some girl sings to just karaoke, and it's a bar, but they have good wings, you know, and so it's gaining ground. But radical metal, Christian radical metal. Okay, so let me go. This is what I wanted to give you for our hardcore verse to memorize. So it's 12, but I'm going to read 9 through 12. It says, they must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. This is for the deacons, for whoever wants to be in my position. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. So you want to battle to the death for the host? Sure, bro. It's not. It sucks. I'm fighting just to be on this. You know, it's funny because I love God and I love to be in this. I don't actually love to be in this position. I'm just thankful that I have a position because I didn't have a position. But this is sort of like an uncanny position to be in because I'm not in a metalcore band. I'm just a rocker. I'm a fan, like a metalcore fan. And I like am old school Devil Wears Prada where we just don't think about whether it's Christian or not. We just jump in the pit and you know, I'm just freaking give it to people. And that's where, you know, that's where, you know, I feel like that's some of the joy too, because those great concerts where you just release massive amounts of joy and energy and that production of happiness and aggression control, it like built this dynamic. I'm saying like the metalcore church is more than enough anger management is what I'm aiming for is like, so we're the metalcore church, right? So we do substance abuse we're going to throw that. And we're not promoting substance. We're promoting sobriety and living clean and a holy and respectable life where you take care of business. You were promoting good morals. The Christian metalcore is radical Christianity, and radical Christianity is radical Christianity. So when you put metalcore as a form of anger management, it becomes more acceptable for Christians. So I want to express that metalcore music does in fact help with anger management, pent up anger, and going to concerts and getting punched in the face. You know, maybe you deserve to get punched in the face. Maybe you need to be punched in the face, but nobody punched you in the face until you went to a concert. You know, and I've been punched in the face and punched people in the face, and I've seen people get kicked in the head and people jump off the stage and hit the dirt. You know, but it's about the experience, man. It's like, that's what we get together to do. So, celebrate recovery principle. This is, so I did some of my testimony. I don't know if I did the guided prayers. Oh, okay, I have three things here for some more on the guided prayer. So I want you to pray the prayer of Jabez and get your hands on the prayer of Jabez. That is the first step towards understanding how the prophetic works. So once you start praying that, you start to see the effects. And then you're wondering, what do I do next? You know, because it like sort of territorializes the gospel around you. But let me mind you, don't never ever backtrack. If you start doing things prophetically and operating prophetically and taking, it's like conquering land. I put that on this new Discord I joined recently. But if you do it, it's like conquering land. When you move into new territory and start loving God and worshiping God and praying for that territory and praying that you'd be able to, it's like God has a lot of wealth, just mountains of wealth, and all that wealth is stored up for God's children to use. But there's an issue. There are giants in the land. Big giants, strong guys. They're preventing good people from obtaining those blessings, those positions, those environments are being controlled by giants. And what I mean by giants are people who don't want to allow those things to be used for God's glory. They want to hoard and harbor for malicious purposes. But let me tell you, when you start operating in the prophetic and you start to break down those walls, some of the evil starts getting exposed like one at a time, and the giants lose their position, and you're the final stone throwing Goliath's head. And it says you will look and look, but you will no longer, they will no longer be found. Your enemies, the giants, they won't be found in the land, and you will inherit the land. There's a lot of verses that talk about inheriting the land that God has promised, and there is a promised land for you that you will inherit. And let me just tell you, like, I don't have it, so I can't show you that I've inherited any promised land, but I know it's there. There's a promised land for me. There's a promised land for you. And if you can fully understand and operate and understand how these prayers work in your life, there are three guided prayers that I didn't know about until my late 30s. I'm like 35, and I didn't realize this until about a year ago about these prayers. There's three type of guided prayers. You can find books. You can find a couple of them online. And it started with the question, how to pray. So one of the guided prayers that you need in your life is breaking off curses. One of the things that we learned in prophetic ministry was breaking off word curses. If I keep saying that I might be sick, that I have such and such sickness, you know, if you keep speaking those, because it's like these, when you speak, you bring it to life. And then when you believe it, you actually like cursing yourself. You can curse others, like putting down others or speaking things over people that are negative. There are special prayers that you can pray over yourself to break off all these word curses. Like, you're nothing. You know, they try to tell you that you're all this bad stuff, and you saw, even I caught myself the other day saying, I heard something funny, and I go, man, I'm dead. And I go, you know, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm not dead. I'm alive. And you don't catch it until you start to realize that words have power over you, and some things may have been spoken over you. Like, I just remember some guy really cursed me, and it's funny because it's so nasty. Right? He was like, when you get older, you're going to pee and it's going to drip a little when you're old. And I turned 29, and it happened. And I go, you know what? I remember that guy. He spoke that over me. And I go, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Never happened to me again. And this is why guided prayers are important, because breaking off curses on your life. You might even have some habitual sins or some stuff like, oh, your family has always dealt with this, so of course you would deal with it, and they would be speaking these curses on. I go, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. That does not have any power over my life, and I am different. I do not accept any of the curses that have been over my family. And then, okay, so there's guided prayers. One of the things we learned from the Cleansing Stream pamphlet was about blessing blockers, and I prayed checks in the mail. Checks in the mail was one of the things. But blessing blockers are like people who stand in the way of a blessing that's coming. Imagine you get a check in the mail, but what's his name doesn't want you to get that check in the mail. So my phone is so temperamental. So, and then my last one is for guided prayers is held up blessings. So there is good when you start serving God and you start planting seeds in other of joy and love, and you give to others, and you sort of plant a seed. Like, if you pray for somebody or you encourage somebody or you get somebody through a hard time, you plant these seeds, and then it like goes out into the world, and it divvies up a harvest. And then when you are supposed to receive the harvest in season. Now, if you understand how agriculture works, you're supposed to plant the seed, water the seed, it grows, and then you harvest the seed. Sometimes somebody who receives your harvest is like, you don't deserve this harvest. And let me tell you, you deserve the harvest. And all it takes is a simple guided prayer to receive what's been held up. I prayed like one prayer and it was just so brief. Like, God, if anything has been blocked from my life, God, that you would open that door, that you would let it come to me, that you would, I don't want to sound like a prosperity preach, because you're, when the laws of sowing and reaping work, they work for you or against you, depending on what kind of seed you want to plant. You could choose to plant evil and manipulate and lie and cheat and steal and be dishonest with your scales and all kinds of stuff, and you would be planting bad seeds, and bad seeds grow and you harvest them and it's not good, and you have to eat the fruit that you planted, and sometimes it sucks. But I just know that, look, I'm just gonna, let me speak this over you because we're already out of time, but look, I'm gonna pray that God would release held up of blessings in your life. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for this Instagram page called the Metalcore Church, where we get to talk about you, God. And I just pray, Lord, that you would, for me, that you would enlarge our territory, that you would enlarge the territory of the Metalcore Church, that you would continue to help us prosper, that you would continue to let us exist. And I pray right now that anybody who's hearing this prayer or these words, God, that you would, I just rebuke the devourer off your life. And I rebuke any blessing blockers that have held up stuff that belongs in your hand. And I rebuke any curses that have been spoken over your life right now in the name of Jesus. You were meant to do good. You are a winner in the name of Jesus. You have a good job lined up for you. I pray right now, God, that you would disperse angels to just go to war for us, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help us, God, to walk in victory and to walk in love and to know that you're have a good plan for us. You have a good plan for the Metalcore Church. You have a good plan for the people that are listening to me speak. And I just pray, God, that you would help us believe that over your life, over our life. And I pray that over their life, God, that you just break off any curses that might be preventing them from receiving the blessings that they need, the money that they need, the friends that they need, the love that they need, God, the relationship that they need, God. I just pray right now that you would just open the floodgates, God. And I just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I pray, God, that you would continue to allow us to be loving and giving in the way that you've called us to be, and not withhold good from others as the opportunity presents itself to us too. And I just pray, God, that you would help us to be a light in the darkness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, geez. It was all upside down on my laptop. Thanks for tuning in. I'll catch you guys next Sunday, 7 to 8. Sunday nights. Hopefully I need to Google some stuff and figure out how to put some music on here so we can do a little worship set, and then I'll talk, and then we'll do some more anger management, celebrate recovery, and Bible study. Thanks for tuning in.